Good morning, Crossville Church. It's good to be with you in this this manner again. It brings back some bad memories, but of our time during COVID. But we are glad that that we're able to do this morning, and appreciate your understanding. The entryways around the church were kind of icy, and so we felt it would be better to do this morning. Do want to remind you of some announcements, and I'll run through those pretty quick, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Remember, tomorrow night at 6:30 is Trail Life and also American Heritage Girls. At this point in time, those are going forward. We believe that with the warm temperatures tomorrow and the sunshine, hopefully all of the entryways will be clear for those events. Men, be sure to remember Men's Ministry, which will be Saturday at 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall. If you're planning to attend, be sure to let Wayne know so that he will know how many to prepare for. Ladies Bible study on Thursday night will be going forward. That starts at 4:30. And if you'd like more information about that, be sure to see Karen Dubrow. I did miss Wednesday night, but we will be having Wednesday night services Wednesday night, so come and be a part of that. And we do believe that with the warmer temperatures and the rain, that everything will be cleared away so that there won't be any problem getting in Wednesday night. If you're planning to walk, probably Wednesday and Friday will be the only days that you'll be able to really get in the building. The parking lot at the gym as of yesterday was still pretty iced over, so we won't be having walking tomorrow, but should be able to have it Wednesday and Friday. Well, the children on Wednesday night are doing a Wild West adventure, and so that'll be a great time for them. Be sure and remember that. And we will, as I said a moment ago, be having regular Wednesday night services at 6 o'clock. A couple of weeks out, or next week on Sunday, Adam's Voice will be here to minister to us in song. If you've never heard Adam's Voice, they are very good and you will enjoy them. They'll be in our 10:30 service, and we want you to be sure and invite other people to come and to be a part of this very special event with us. And so that's next Sunday morning in our regular morning worship service. February the 2nd will be Loss of a Spouse Seminar, and that will be in the Good News Classroom. And then Grief Share is going to begin February the 9th at 10 o'clock in the Good News Classroom. So those are some upcoming events. There's many other announcements there in the bulletin that was sent out to you, so be sure and look at the bulletin. Be sure and look at those. One special thing, the youth will be having a Valentine dinner fundraiser on Wednesday night, February the 14th, and that's at 6 o'clock in the Family Life Center. And the cost is $10 per person or a family, would be $30, and the menu is spaghetti, salad, bread, drink, and dessert. And so if you'd like to more information about that or like to purchase tickets, be sure and see Keisha or Pastor Tyler. We're going to be having a very special kids event on February the 3rd, and we'll be giving you more information about that next Sunday morning, but be sure and look at the bulletin. A lot of announcements in there for you to look at and to know about. We're so glad that you're joining us this morning, and hope that today is a blessing for you. Let's pray, and then we'll get started with our message this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather in this way. We're grateful, Lord, for the means by which we can do this. And we're grateful, Lord, that we can speak to people who are far away as well as right here in our own congregation. And so, Lord, this morning I ask that you would bless us and that you would help us as we look into your word together. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to make the right choices as we've been talking about over the past few weeks. Help us to make the right choices in our service to you. We love you and we thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do for us in this time that we have together. We ask that you'd bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at Psalm 90 this morning as we go through the message. Psalm 90, and we're going to look through it, most of that message today. Over the past few weeks, we have been looking at stewardship. We've been in a series entitled Stewardship, It's Your Choice. And so we're talking today about our time. It took me years to reach a point in place and time that I felt like I was qualified to talk about marriage. Sometimes I still doubt my qualifications, especially when Susie and I have times of intense fellowship. anyway, I say that because I'm not sure that I'm qualified to preach this message this morning. In fact, in this whole series that we've been doing on stewardship, this message has been the most difficult one to prepare for, to get ready for. And I say that to let you know that in regard to this morning, I am still a work in progress. And so if at any point in time you hear someone behind the camera go, huh, you'll know that someone has just disagreed with me. I don't think she'll do that. Maybe not. Anyway, but this morning, I do want us to talk about the stewardship of our time. If you were to be given a bank or had a bank that were to credit your account every morning with $86,400, and you had to spend that every day, you couldn't roll anything over, you couldn't do anything with it, you couldn't take it out and hold it over for the next time, what would you do? Well, the thing that you would do is you would spend every cent. You and I really don't have a bank that's going to do that for us. If you do find that bank, be sure and let me know. But the thing that we do have is we do have time. And every morning, you and I are credited with 86,400 seconds. Every night, whatever was lost or whatever was not used or whatever we failed to invest in, it doesn't roll over. It's not like cell phone minutes that we used to have that would roll over. There are no rollover minutes with God. There is no overdraft in relation to this. Every day is a new account for us. And every night, what happened with that, it starts all over again. There's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. We've got to live with the present deposit that we have. And so we have to do what we have to do with that time. People live by a clock. It's time is so important to us. Benjamin Franklin said, "Don't squander time, for it's the stuff that life is made of." And I remember when I would be going to the church in Baton Rouge, and in all that traffic, there would be people who would be riding down the road, and they would be either, I remember one guy one morning had an electric razor and he was shaving. I remember one lady at a red light doing her makeup as she was going to work and all of those kinds of things. And people were in a dead rush. They were in a hurry. And that's kind of our culture today. We seem to be in a hurry in everything that we do. But as I began to look at the life of Jesus, I found out something about Jesus. He never seemed to be in a hurry. And when you look at what he was doing the most important job in history, and that was redeeming the world. And he only had a few years to do it. He never ran. He never made time he never rushed into anything. In fact, he made time to consider the flowers, to consider the birds. He had time to talk with the children. He had time to place his hand on them and bless them. And when you look at what Jesus did, Jesus used time to the best of his ability. And the Bible gives us some insights into how time can be our friend rather than our enemy. And basically, God exists in a realm that is not bound by time. He's not bound by space. He doesn't wear a watch. He doesn't have a day timer. He doesn't have a phone that tries to keep track of his events for the day. He is the creator of time, but yet he is greater than time. And so when we begin to look at making a choice about the things that we do, I think that we really have to look into God's Word, and we have to look and see what God's Word tells us. In Psalm 90, I'm going to read from the New International Version, and then I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. But in Psalm 90, the psalmist said, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men.' For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." Then in verse 12 he says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The New Living Translation translates it like this: "Lord, through all generations you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth and the world. From beginning to end, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.' For you," speaking of God, a thousand years are as a passing day, as brief as a few hours. You go on down to verse 10, and the psalmist says, 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and fly away. And then verse 12, and I love the way the New Living Translation gives this, teach us to realize the brevity of our life so that we may grow in wisdom. That is an awesome statement. Teach us to realize the brevity of our life so that we may grow in wisdom. And so if you want to grab a piece of paper, I don't think you can see this for the glare that is there. Jane provided this when we were back in COVID. Write down the word time like I've got it right here, up and down. And thanks, Jane, for this. And I got to use it one more time. But write down time like that. And we're going to look at that kind of as an acrostic this morning and see, I believe, how we can do something with our time. The first thing that I think that we need to do with our time is we need to treasure it. God says that we should treasure our time as our most valuable commodity. He says, teach us to the brevity of our life. Wow, the brevity of our life. We number our years, or at least some of us do. Some of us have quit counting birthdays. But God says that every day is precious and that we should treasure it. I mean, to realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. How valuable is an hour? You ask a businessman who missed a flight, and he missed an important business deal, and he'll tell you that hour was so important. Ask a man who had a heart attack in a restaurant, and because an EMT was there, minutes were given back to him that he would have had to wait for someone to get there. And by CPR, his life was saved. How valuable is a second? Well, we don't think much about seconds. They pass so rapidly, you know, but a person who's barely missed a head-on collision with an oncoming car would say that 1 second made a difference. A millisecond, you begin to think of it, of an Olympic swimmer who missed by just 6/10 of a second. I mean, time is so valuable. I read this, and I thought it was cute, but it's really true. Treasure every moment that you have. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift, and that's why they call it a present. So when you begin to look at that, you come to the realization that we need to treasure what God has given to us. A.W. Tozer said, time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. You can't store it up, slow it up, hold it up, divide it up, or give it up. You can't hoard it up or save it for a rainy day. When it's lost, it's unrecoverable. When you kill time, there is no resurrection for that. You begin to think about that. And we have been given this valuable thing called life. We've been talking about stewardship and how it is a choice. And I guess the choice that we have to make in all of this is, how are we going to use our time? It is something that we treasure. It is something that we hold dear. But how are we using it? Are we using it for something that is important? Which leads us to the next part of that, which is to invest our time. We use a lot of phrases about time that really aren't possible. You can't buy more time. You can't find more time. I hear people say, well, when I find time, I will do that. We speak of making time, but that's impossible too. The only thing that you and I can do with our time is to invest it. And when you really think about it, time is more valuable than money. It's like money in that it can be spent, it can be invested. It's different from money because money can be saved, time can't. If you don't lose it, if you don't use it, you lose it forever. In the early 70s, a fellow by the name of Jim Croce wrote a song, and it was one of my favorite songs as I was growing up, and it was entitled Time in a Bottle. And that the chorus of that says, if I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes, just to spend them with you. That's a nice lyric. I mean, it really is. It would be nice if we could save time like that, but we can't. And the sad part and the sad reality of it is, just a few months later, after that song came out in Natchitoches, Louisiana, at the age of 30, Jim Croce was killed. So you can't save time. Billy Graham told a group of students at his alma mater, Wheaton College. He said, time is the capital that God has given to us to invest. People are the stocks in which we are to invest our time. Whether they are blue chips or penny stocks or even junk bonds, we have been given time to invest in people. And I think it's so important for us to realize that you and I have the opportunity. You and I have the gospel of Jesus Christ that we can live out in front of people, that we can talk to people about what Jesus has done in our lives. But I'll tell you something else about all of this. When you begin to look at our time and how we invest it, we're going to find out what's most important to us. There are 168 hours in each week, and the average person spends, statistically they say, that the average person spends about 56 of those hours sleeping, about 24 hours of those hours eating and taking care of our personal hygiene, about 50 hours of those week working or traveling to work. That means that there's only about 35 hours of discretionary time that's available to us. That's about 5 hours a day. And so I guess the question that I have to ask is, how are we investing what we can? If someone were to follow you around for those 5 hours, after about 5 to 10 days, they could tell you really what's most important in your life. You might not like what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. For some of us, Facebook is the most important thing. I mean, here we are. We're on it. I understand that. I'm biting the hand that's feeding us right now. But when you begin to look at where we spend our time, my phone, and if you've got an iPhone, it will do this. It will tell you how your battery life was used during a day or a week. And sometimes you can look at that, and if you, it can be a startling revelation when you look at how much time you spend on certain apps and those kinds of things. And I've heard people say, well, you know, I use my time, but when I'm with my family, it becomes quality time. Well, I don't like that phrase because most often than not, it just means that you're spending some time, and quality time is kind of an odd statement because every second has the same quality. I mean, the reality of it is, if I had a crinkled up $100 bill here and a pristine $5 bill, it would be stupid to say, well, this $5 bill is quality because it's in good shape, but this $100 bill is not any good because it's all crinkled up, it's messed up. You see, quality will never make up for quantity. And you and I have the opportunity to invest what God has given us, whether it be with our family, whether it be with our church. Whatever we choose, if you begin to look at how we invest our time, it will really show us what is important to us. And we have to make a choice about whether we're going to give God the time that He asks for, the time that He deserves, if we're going to invest it in Him. Which leads us to the point number 3, which is you and I need to manage our time. I'm reminded this morning that all the money that we receive comes from God and we only manage it. We've said that. The Sunday that we talked about money, we are only managers of the money that God has given us. And it's the same thing with our time. God is the creator of time. He alone controls it. And so you and I have to determine how we're going to manage our time. A time management expert was teaching a seminar for executives, and he placed this large clear mouth open jar in front of the group. And in that jar, he began to put big, large rocks until it seemed like the jar was full. And he asked the group there, is the jar full? And everyone nodded yes. And then he took pebbles, and he began to fill up with the jar until the pebbles reached the rim of the jar. And he asked the group again, is the jar full? To which they said yes. He proceeded then to take some sand, and he poured in, and he shook, and he shook, and he shook, and he shook until he got all of this sand in there. And then he asked them again, is the jar full? Well, by this time, they had learned that they probably shouldn't shake their head yes. And he then took a pitcher of water and began to pour into this jar and fill that jar to the brim with water. Those that had said it was full with the large rocks placed in it were immediately embarrassed because of all the things that they had seen go in there after they said it was full. But the whole lesson that he taught them was that you, if you're going to manage your time, you've got to put the big rocks in first. You've got to figure out what's important. I want to ask you a question. What are the big rocks in your life? What are the most important things in your life? Is giving your time to God part of the important things that you need to put in there first? If you and I don't make a determination to manage our time and give God what He's asking, and ask, and even ask Him, God, how do you want me to spend my time? Then we're not going to be able to fulfill what He's called us to do. We're not going to be able to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. Every moment that we have is a gift from God. Every moment that we have is so important. The Apostle Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. About walking, he says, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly means that we walk constantly looking around in order that we can make the most of every opportunity. But he also tells us there that we should be redeeming the time, that we should make the best of the time. The things that the devil would try to snatch away, and the things that the devil would try to get us to do, the things that the devil would try to pull us into, we need to begin to look and to examine how we're using those things and how God wants us to use those things, because the reality of it is, if we don't manage our time, someone else will manage it for us. That's just the way it is. Some people complain that they don't have enough time. Well, the reality of it is we all have the same amount of time as everybody else. It's just that some of us manage our time better than others. And there was an old me statement for me. And maybe some of you would have to say that same thing. We have to manage our time. We have to manage what God has called us to do. But the last thing that I want us to look at this morning, and that's that final letter in the word time. And that's that we need to use our time to enrich ourselves and enrich other people who are around us. The time you spend with your family, it should be enjoyable and it should be enriching. It should be the best time of your life. I mean, there are going to be those things that we have to say no to in order that we can be a part of what is going on in our family. And I've always told people that our families come first, and I really do believe that. But that doesn't mean that we should avoid church. And say, well, we're going to be a part of this. We have to be managers of all of that and do what we're supposed to. But we have to use those times to enrich our family, to train our family. Our kids are only going to be with us for a few years, so we've got to make the most of it. Even use the fun times to teach and to train our kids about the importance of God in our lives. Please understand, the church can't take the place of training ultimately. It has to happen there in the home. The secular world is not going to give them that kind of training. It's only in family settings that we can show that what they've been taught on Sunday mornings will work on Monday through Saturday. Pastor Tyler posted on Facebook this week, our children aren't walking away from Christianity because the church isn't doing a good job. Our children are walking away because we are asking the church and the schools to do what God designed the family to accomplish. When I read that, I thought that was such a great statement. So you and I, we need to take the time to enrich our family, to train them and show them that our theology works in real life. And I hope you got that. That we need to take the time to train our families that our theology works in real life. If we were together, if we were together this morning in the sanctuary, I'd have you look at the person sitting beside you and say to them, "You don't have long to live." That sounds like an awful statement, but the reality of it is, none of us really know. None of us really have any idea what is in store, and so we have to use the time that God has given us. We have to use the time that God has given us to treasure, to invest, to manage, and to enrich. You say, William, all this is great, but why in stewardship are you talking about this? And here's the statement that I really want you, one another statement I really want you to get this morning. The reason I'm taking time to talk about time is because we are responsible for our time. The psalmist said, teach us to number our days. Teach us to know the brevity of our life. And if we're not careful, you and I will spend all of our time working on things that have no eternal significance. We'll spend all of our time working on things that have no eternal significance. I can't take what I make with me to heaven. I can't take any of the house that I'm sitting in. I can't take any of that with me to heaven. But I can invest my life in the lives of people who are around me. I can invest my life in my children and in my grandchildren and in the church and the things that are going on. And by doing that, those people, those souls, I can take with me to heaven because they are of eternal significance. We do have jobs to work at, and we do have lives that we have to live. But what are we doing for God beyond Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? And let me say something about that even. Those times, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, are really not times of working for God unless you're teaching a class. But those are times for refueling. Those are times for refreshing so that we can go out and do what God has called us to do. But what are we doing with our time? How are we giving our time for the sake of eternity? How are we giving our time to God? I urged you last Sunday morning. We were talking about getting involved. And I don't want any of us to look back one day and say, you know, I really wish that I had taken more time to do something for God. I've never heard of anybody that said on their deathbed, you know, I wish I had spent more time at work, or I wish I had spent more time at this hobby or that hobby. But I have heard people say, I wish I had more time with my family. I wish I had more time to do things for God. And so I think it's so important. You see, time is God's precious gift for us. And I want to tell you, I thank you for taking the time this morning to watch this message. This is not a normal day. You could have been watching television instead of listening to me. But I appreciate your time. I appreciate you investing in this time. And I hope it's been some time for you to think. I hope it's been some time for you to re-examine maybe your life and what you're doing with your time. Because ultimately, we have to make a choice about our time. Ultimately, stewardship is a choice. And you and I have been given time to treasure. We have been given time to manage. We have been given time to invest. And I've got these out of sync. Treasure, invest, manage, and to enrich other people who are around us. And so I encourage you that God, that you allow God to speak to you and allow God to help you in this choice that you've got to make about the stewardship of your time. Lord Jesus, we're grateful for the opportunity that we've had together here this morning. Lord, it's a lot different than it would have been had we been at church. But Lord, as someone this week said that maybe this time was given to us for us to slow down long enough just to think about things and to really look at our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us on this Sunday morning in the brevity of this message today, that you would help us on this Sunday morning to examine what we're doing, the choices that we are making with the time that we have been given. The psalmist said that our life is very brief, and so we need to use what brief time that we have to gain the wisdom that we need. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we might indeed make good choices with the way that we spend the time that you have given to us. Lord, we thank you and we love you for all that you've done. There are those of our congregation this morning that we're thinking about that are sick and who need your special touch. And so, Lord, we ask you that you'd touch them and that you'd help them. Be with those who have worked real hard this morning. For many of our congregation were without power. Thank you for those that have worked in order that we could join together as we have this morning. We love you and we thank you and we praise you for all you're going to do for us. May you bless us in the activities of this week and the coming weeks, and for what you accomplish in our hearts and our lives. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Remember Trail Life tomorrow night, American Heritage Girls tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, Thursday night, Ladies Bible Study. Saturday is men's breakfast. And then next Sunday morning, Adam's Voice will be with us in the morning service. You're going to really enjoy them. They are very good. So I encourage you to invite somebody to come and be a part of these services with you. May God bless you. I hope you have a great day. Stay warm.